Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Amen. Are you happy this morning? Are you ready to praise the Lord? You don't look, our worship doesn't start at 10:30. Our worship starts when we wake up. Amen. Starts when we wake up. Hey, by the way, we're still having our groups. So what's third week? What's this about? No, second was worship. What's the third one about? Fellowship. You are meant to be in fellowship with God. If you haven't joined a group yet, we have the phone numbers. And addresses of all of our groups. They're at the back table, so it's not too late to sign up. We've had some wonderful testimony. Last week's group, we were here and upstairs with a small group, and it was just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, phenomenal. The group was sharing, and I said, the pastor hat is not on. I'm a member hat, you know. So I really enjoyed it. It was just so awesome. How many of you have been enjoying these sessions? Oh, it's been so good. Give God praise. Give God praise. I like that song. I like the meaning of it as well. But he's a well that never runs dry. Man, you think about it. Have you ever felt dry in your life? You ever had a dry season in your life? You know, there's reasons for that. One reason, the Bible tells us that refreshing, times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. Sometimes we're not in his presence enough. We don't take time to say, yeah, I got other things to do, but I really need to spend some time with God. Need to spend some time with the Lord. And he said, times of refreshing. So if you feel dry, get into his presence. We often feel like, I've got to get churned up. I've got to get built up. I've got to get ready before I go in. No. It's not left up to your mind and your effort. Never has been. It's always been left up to him. What he's done, who he is, what he's done, and what he's currently doing. So it's not this part of we've got to work it up. You can't work in order to get there. It's not about works. It's about him. He said you can come boldly with confidence. You can come before the throne of grace, the throne of God, the throne of grace. And why is that? Because I need help. Because he said, I can come confidently, boldly, right now, boldly. Well, what have I done? Boldly, you can come to him. He said, and there you can find what? Help. Everybody say it loud. Help. You can find help. With the grace of God, he'll give you grace and he'll give you the help that you need without us trying to get right enough. You ever thought about, I just got to get right enough before I got to get right enough before I can come to church. Well, you don't come to church anyway. You are the church and you're just coming together. Y'all know all about that. We're going to be talking again about the prodigal son. I started this series, this is the third week. And all I was going to do at the beginning was talk about so many people are away from home, away from God. How do we get back? How do we get back? And that's really what I felt like God was saying to me. Just talk to them about how to get back. And I thought about the prodigal son, and I started reading it and everything. And after that first Sunday we did it, it's like, okay, I'm going on to something else. But the Lord, no, we're not ready to do that yet. So the Spirit of God was moving on my heart. Now the second week we talked about the father's response of the son coming home. And then the third week, last week, we talked about the father's restoration of the son. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. Talk about the restoration of the father. The gifts that he was given to the, that he gave to the son. Over in Luke 15:17 said, when the son had come to himself, he said, There are many in my father's house are hired servants, employees. They were employees of the father. They have bread enough and to spare. They've got bread to be able to eat, and they've got some left over, and here I am perishing with hunger. I'm dying of hunger. I will arise. Here he goes. He said, I will arise. He starts his speech in his mind. I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, which is against you, and before you. And verse 19 says, I am no longer worthy. I am no longer. What does that mean? Before now, he thought he was worthy. I am no longer, which means he was at one time. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Then he said, make me like one of your hired servants, but like one of your employees. And we talked about that he arose and came to the father. And while it was still a long way off, the father saw him. The father had compassion. The father ran, and the father fell on his neck and kissed him. So we began to see how the father, it involves the prodigal, but this is about the father. It really is about the father. It's less about us, but it's more about him. Yeah, we find ourselves in prodigal living sometimes, you know, without restraint and all that. But anyway, he said he ran to him. We talked about that last week. And Lord gave us a move of the Spirit last week. He does every week, really. If we just follow him, it's all about him anyway. It's all about him anyway. So after that happened, after he kissed him, he ran to him, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And verse 21 said, and he said to him, y'all remember this speech he made? He said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. That was the first thing he said. And then he says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. What was his third thing he was going to say? What was the third thing he was going to say? Make me as one of your servants. But the next word says, but the father said. So what did the father do? Interrupted his little speech. The father just said, but. So he had three things to tell him. He only got to tell him two. And then the father interrupted him. He interrupted him from saying, make me like one of your hired servants. Just treat me like one of them. He just interrupted. And this is what the father said to his servants, bring out, which means to quickly, without delay, bring out the best robe, not a robe, the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring out the fatted calf and kill it, and we're going to make merry. My son was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. He said, and they began to make merry. Amen. They began to celebrate. Oh, Oh my goodness, all about the Father. It's all about the Father. So these are the gifts, the robe, the sandal, and or the robe, the ring, and the sandals. We're going to be talking about at least one today. Hopefully we'll get two in, but this thing about the robe, the ring, and the sandal, and the fatty calf, all that's good to read, but what does it mean? What does it mean when that were the gifts of the Father? After he had welcomed him, kissed him, endorsed him, and said, come home. I'm glad you're home. You're forgiven. What do they mean? First, before I say that, I want to say this, that we are not sons because we serve. You're not a son just because you serve. You serve because you're a son. And once again, he calls the ladies and the men sons of God, and he calls the ladies and the men the bride of Christ. We're all in this thing together. So ladies, don't get upset, and guys, don't get upset when we talk about the bride of Christ. He's still talking about us. Us-ins. So, some kids. Never mind. I'll get off of that. The robe, the ring, and the sandals. See, we're sons because of birthright, not because of behavior. Let me say that again. We're sons because of birthright, not because of behavior. You've been born into the kingdom. Not worked your way into the kingdom. Amen. So the Father gave the gifts. And what is this robe? This robe is a robe of the best robe. It's the robe of righteousness. We have here, if we get it up, we have Isaiah 60. Whoops. We got, this was about, here it is. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in God. He has clothed me in the garments of salvation, and he has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Woo. Covered me with the robe of righteousness. This robe of righteousness. Let me ask you this question. Is it earned or is it a gift? What is it?
A gift.
One more time?
A gift.
A gift. Then why is it that we can say it's a gift and then we act like we have to earn it? See, we can say, yeah, this is a gift. Righteousness is a gift from God, and it is. But we have a problem. We call it a gift, and then we act like we have to earn it. That's what the prodigal was doing. I was earning this thing about being his son. And as long as I was doing the right thing, I can be called a son. But since he wasn't doing the right thing, he said, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. See how messed up we can get? And that's what we have to understand, that if we capture this thing about the gifts of God that are without repentance, the gifts of God, and we capture those in our being and in our living, it will change our entire life. Not save you. No, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about it will change how you live this Christian life. Why is that? Because if you don't earn the righteousness, you can't earn the righteousness. Nothing you can do to be good enough. Nothing you can do to be right. Nothing. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. What we can come up with is filthy rags. We can't do anything to get there out of our own works. Why is that? because God sent his son to do it all. He did it all. When on the cross, what he said, it is what? What does that mean? It's finished. It's done. He has done. He has done what he came to do in dying for mankind. And that word finished means it's done one time, never to be repeated. Won't ever be repeated again. He'll have to die again. Nope, he did it one time. For all people, for all sin. So begin to see and that the prodigal comes home. I'd like to know, what did the prodigal do to get the robe? What good work did he do in order to get the robe of righteousness? He squandered his inheritance. He riotous living, crazy living, unrestrained living, whatever he wanted to do. All of that stuff that he was doing. Ate with the pigs, fed the pigs, ate with the pigs, and that's when he came to himself. We need to come to ourselves a lot of times. But anyway, what did he do to earn the gift? Nothing. Matter of fact, he came home. He came home thinking that maybe the possibility of my father giving me an employee's job, not a son, not any of that, because I've sinned against him. I've sinned against heaven. Maybe he'll just make me one of his employees. Maybe he'll make me a hired servant. Treat me like one. But once again, the father interrupted him. Didn't let him say that part. It's amazing to me how the scripture begins to unfold in these things. It was that he did not want the son uttering those words, that he is more of a servant than he ever will be or ever has been a son. He didn't want those words uttered. That's the reason he interrupted him. And then he said, quickly bring the robe. Quickly, without delay, bring the robe, the ring, and the sandals. Over in Romans chapter 4, we look at these scriptures. Over Romans chapter 4, it says, just as David also describes the blessedness or the happiness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Yeah, we need to get this. We need to get this thing about the righteousness of God and the robe of righteousness that he has given us. We don't use this word imputes hardly ever anymore. The Bible uses it, but we don't use it much in our language anymore. Impute means to reconcile the account. In other words, it's balanced. Have you ever had a checking account that was not reconciled? I remember one time Miss Rita, she's back there, Miss Rita, she's having trouble finding some things. She does a great job. She really does with all the account. Super job. And I walked in, this has been several years ago, I walked in and I said, what's going on? And she said, I'm struggling a little bit with trying, but I'll find it. She said, I'll find it. And I said, I'll help you. Who's laughing? Was that you?
No.
You know me. Yeah, I said, I'll help you. So she smiled and handed me some papers, and I was like, I said, what about this? 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 I don't know. How long was it, Rita? It was too long, I'll tell you that right now. It was too long. I finally told her, I said, am I interrupting you doing your job? She said, A little. Very kind. Very kind. A little, which means yes and get out of here. So anyway, I left, and it wasn't too much longer after that she had it. She said, found it, blah, blah, blah. And I was keeping her from finding it. I wasn't helping her to find it. I was keeping her from, why? Why? When the count is out of balance, you got to find balance. You got to have it reconciled. Imputes means the account is balanced and it's reconciled. So what does that mean? It says, happy is the man, David's talking about, it's in Romans, but happy is the man to whom God imputes, balances his account apart from works. Your account is balanced apart from your doings, apart from your mind and your works. You and I do not have the works that we can actually do to balance our account of Christianity, balance our account of Christian living, balance on our account of becoming a Christian. We can't do it. He balances that account for us apart from our works. I think it is so beautiful. Let's look at the next one, Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. It was by Adam. We're born sinners. We weren't born Christian. We're born sinners. Born sinners. But also by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. Born again, we now have the rope of righteousness. Now our account has been settled. Our account has been settled. Let's look at the next one, Romans chapter 10, verse 3. Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 10, verse 3. For they being ignorant. What does that mean? Don't understand. Let me ask you, have you ever been ignorant? Don't call anybody ignorant. Don't even say that. But have you ever been there? You ever been into the place where you didn't understand? You're ignorant. Used to be. I didn't say anybody was today. He said, listen, being ignorant of what? Of God's righteousness. Being ignorant of God's righteousness. And number two, seeking to establish their own righteousness. When you are ignorant of God's righteousness, when you don't understand the righteousness of God, you will try to create your own righteousness by your own doings. So when you see people trying to work out their own righteousness by their own doings and having that mindset, you need to understand they're ignorant of the fact and they don't understand the righteousness of God. The Bible is just full of this stuff if we just read it. I'm telling you. Seeking your own righteousness, not submitted to the righteousness of God. So being ignorant, when we do not have an understanding of God's righteousness, you'll seek to do your own. And in the seeking of doing your own, this is the third part, you will not submit, and that word submit means to, it's their control. You will not submit your control to the righteousness of God. As long as you're trying to work it out yourself and do your own righteousness, you won't submit to what he's already given you. So you're trying to work for something he's already given you. And you're actually producing in your own self a work mentality that has to do things in order to attain it. This word submitted here means it's a military term. They're not submitted. They're not under control of the righteousness of God. It's a military term, and it's like the orders. We were at Pastor Charlie's and Miss Lynn's last Sunday. Went by to visit them, and I don't know, we'd been there about an hour or something, and Miss Brenda looks over at a piece of paper that is right beside Pastor Charlie on taped on a lamp, and it's this big, and big letters. I mean, it's like big letters. And Brenda says, I see that you've got Pastor Charlie's got his orders. Do not get up by yourself. Do not stand by yourself. Call me. I need to be here. I will be here. I will help you. Do not do this by yourself. No falling. Yeah, it's like, and Brenda said, I see Pastor Charlie's got his orders. I mean, I got to laughing, and I said, you noticed that she did not say suggestions. Pastor Charlie got some suggestions from his wife. Miss Lynn, I know you're not an order person, but Brenda knew exactly what it was, because that's exactly what she gave me when I was going through all of my difficulties. She gave me orders. It wasn't bossy. It wasn't bossy. It was taking care. But even Pastor Charlie looked at it, at that piece of paper and started laughing. He said, you're right. That's my wife's orders. I need to follow these orders. Why? It's his best. He won't fall. And she said, I'll be here. I'm here. I'll help you. I'll do whatever. So this is what we're talking about. This thing about the military term of being submitted to the righteousness of God. When we don't submit to the righteousness of God as a gift that he has given us, we will try our best to work out another method. And it will not work. It will only put us deeper in the sluggishness spiritually that we're trying to move in. So Christians all over the place try to work out and work up to their own righteousness. Let's look at Proverbs 5:13. I think that's the next one. You don't have that one. I didn't send it to you. Probably didn't. Let me read it to you. Are you ready? This is a good one, by the way, so write it down. Write it down. Hebrews chapter 5. For everyone who partakes... What did I say? Somebody help me. What do I need to do? What did I say? Did I say Proverbs? Y'all ought to be smarter than me. Y'all ought to be prophetic enough to say, He means Proverbs. He means Hebrews. You know why this stuff happens to me? What? What? Keep me humble and to teach me. I'm not all there yet. Yeah, it's humility is a huge thing in our walk with God. To follow Jesus, you have to walk in humility. And then when you make a mistake, what do? You say Hebrews. You say Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled. They're sluggish in their understanding in the word of righteousness. Everyone who eats, who has a liquid diet concerning the word of God, it's only the soft and the easy things. It's only those. He said, you're unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food, the steak and the meat and the potatoes, the solid food belongs to those who are full age. They're mature. Those who, by reason of use, they practice it. How did they get mature? They practice the robe of righteousness. They practice what God has already given. Those who by reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Now, I'm here to tell you, if you want to have your senses, not your mind, your senses. If you want your senses trained to discern good and evil, where does it start? It starts by eating the strong meat of his righteousness. That's the reason I'm telling you that if we get this about the righteousness of God, it will change everything about our life, how we think about God, how we think about ourselves, and how we think about others. From the righteousness of God. And we can have our, by practicing what he's already given, we can have our senses trained to discern. And if there's ever a time we need our senses to be trained to discern good and evil, we live in that day today. We live in that day today. But God has declared you and I righteous by Jesus Christ. His righteousness. He took our sins. He gave us his righteousness and clothed us, robed us, covered us. When he sees us, what does he see? The righteousness of God, the righteousness of his Son. Oh, that is so good. Let me read this passage. It's over in Zechariah. Do we have that one? Yeah. Zechariah chapter 3, he said, this is a vision. Bless you, this is a vision. He said, then he was shown, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing. This is not the Joshua and Moses. This is not that Joshua. This is a Joshua who is the high priest. So the Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and that's the Lord. And Satan is at his right hand to oppose or to accuse him. You have to understand what's happening here. And this is the Old Testament. This is before the cross. And you begin to see this, and Joshua the high priest is standing before the Lord, and Satan is standing by his right hand. And he's there to oppose, to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? He's talking about Joshua. Is he not a brand plucked out of the fire? And you begin to see, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Before the Lord. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, the Lord, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. Take them away. Take away the filthy garments. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. Whew. So you begin to see that this is the heart of God saying, look, here it is. Satan is making all the accusations. He's making all the accusations before God about Joshua. And you know, you begin to see this happening, and you begin to see the Lord takes issue with it and says, hey, Lord rebuke you. I've chosen Jerusalem. The Lord rebuke you. You begin to see this, and then he says, take away all these filthy garments and bring him and remove. He said, I have removed the iniquity from you, and I will clothe you in rich robes. Now, over in Revelation, why did I bring that up? Because it talks about rich robes. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Remember, we're in the book of Revelations, and you begin to see all the writing from John. He says this, he says, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. You remember one third of the angels, right? They left. They were cast out too. Cast out too. And then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. It's a big announcement. It said, take notice. Well, why? Why the big announcement? For the accuser of the brethren who accused, past tense. Oh, who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. They're out of heaven. What about today, Pastor? I'm glad you said that. Romans chapter 8. See, in Zechariah, you see the accusation and Satan standing before the Lord and making the accusations against Joshua and all that. Then it says, that ain't going to happen. I rebuke you. And then Revelation says, hey, the accuser of the brethren who has accused you, them have been thrown out, cast out of heaven. Now let's look at this, Romans chapter 8. Did we find Romans chapter 8, verse 34 said, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Why is this important? Why is this important to me? Why is this important to you? Because I don't have the accuser standing at the right hand of God accusing me. He's been cast down. He is still the accuser. Do you hear me? He's still the accuser. He'll accuse you and I all day long, whispering in your ear and in other people's ear. But see, the Bible says this, no longer do I have an accuser. I've got an intercessor whose name is Jesus. Jesus is making the intercession for the saints. That's us-ins. That's us-ins again. He's making the intercession. He is also the advocate. John said he is that advocate. We have an advocate. If we sin, we've got an advocate with the Father. What's the advocate doing? He's a lawyer. What's he doing? He's arguing our case for us. He's presenting our case for us. No, he's covered. No, she's covered. Oh, my goodness. Robe of righteousness, right hand of God, Christ is making intercession for us. We no longer have that accuser standing before God. He's been thrown out of heaven. He's been thrown out of heaven. He and his angels have been thrown out of heaven. Can you see that? Cross God in heaven and see what happens to Satan, to Lucifer. Let's look at one more, and we need to close. Where is that? Romans chapter 4. It's talking about Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God. Have you ever wavered at the promise of God? Do you today? Wavered at the promise of God through unbelief. but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he said, what he had promised, he is able to perform it. What God said he will do, he will do it. What God said he promised, he will what? He will fulfill it. Therefore, it was accounted to him, to Abraham, it was imputed. It was accounted to him for righteousness. I love verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed, that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in Jesus. What is that saying? It was imputed to Abraham. And this was, listen, you have to hear this. God reconciled Abraham's account. And he says, not only about Abraham, but your account as well. How did God reconcile, impute the righteousness, the account? How did he make that happen? I'll tell you how he made it happen. He took the debt that I owed. He took the sins out of my account. And he put them over in the Son's account. He what? Became sin. He didn't sin. Jesus became sin. Then he took his Son's righteousness and brought it over to my account and said, you are righteous. Because of my Son, you are righteous. So what has he done? He has clothed us in his glory. The robe of his righteousness is his robe of glory. Oh, isn't he good? Isn't he good? We can't be people like, oh, it's a gift, and then turn around and try to do good to earn it. When he looks at us, he sees the Son righteous, the righteousness of his Son. He sees we're covered. We're covered by Jesus' righteousness. Not because of my works, because of his. He made the great exchange. That's the reason in the garden he said, hey, he knew this needed to be done. He said, but if there's any way possible, is there any other way for us to do this? If there is there any, then he goes on and says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Nevertheless, if there ain't no other way, I'm him. I'll pay the price. Bless you. The righteousness of God. That was the first one. Time's up. I got a couple of more to do, but the others won't take that long. But understand that this gift is not earned. The righteousness that he has given you was never earned, never will be earned, and can never be earned. It's a gift. It's a gift. Next time you feel like, well, I really missed it, and, you know, I really can't sing today. You hear me? I can't lift up my hands today. I'm not worthy to be called a son. See, that's a performance mentality that we fall into, that we have got to do right in order to obtain it. And he says, no, I've already given it to you so you can do right. Oh, he's good. He's good. Well, did you get anything out of it? I did too. Who's coming up? Who's coming up? Pastor John, you coming up? Come on up.
Okay, just some quick announcements. Just a reminder for the ladies, brunch this Saturday at 10 o'clock. And also, the men's fellowship has been changed to April the 4th. So please change the date on that for us. And let's pray for Anita Grant and family. Her mother passed this morning, Peggy Clark. So we just want to pray for that family. And also, Miss Gina, if you will meet her over here, if you didn't get to talk to her about the retreat in August, we need to get a head count so we can get the rooms reserved. So if you didn't get a chance last Sunday, please meet with her on this side of the church at the coffee session right after service.
Amen. Go ahead and pray, brother. These people are ready to go.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much this morning. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the word that we've heard, Lord God, that we are clothed in your righteousness, Father. And God, we thank you, Lord, because we're clothed in your righteousness. We are in right standing with you, Father. So, Father, we pray as we go forth, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will bring back to our remembrance that we are the righteousness of God. And, Father, we pray for the family of the Grants, Lord. We pray, God, that you would just comfort them. And, Lord, we pray, God, that you'll give them strength, and we pray your peace over them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a blessed week.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.